Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chelsea Echo and welcome to your match preview of Arsenal versus Chelsea. After a deeply frustrating game against Manchester City, we can actually pick ourselves up, dust ourselves down and move forward because guess what? We can potentially, and I say this with all the hope in my heart, completely derail Arsenal's chances of winning the Premier League. Captain Scarlett almost the referee again with his really, really, really thick hair, which I'm going to be incredibly jealous of in a few years, and I know that's going to be the case. And we'll have sent Havertz and Jorginho to the right place to do the job which we've needed them to do. But before we do get into that, it is myself, it is Tom, and we've got to discuss the big talking points from the FA Cup semi-final. But firstly, Tom, how are you, mate?
I'm good. I was at the marathon yesterday watching friends and family run. Everyone made it. No one died. Maybe cut that bit out, actually, just in case someone did die. everyone made it. Everyone, I think, raised their targets and had a nice little afternoon and evening in the pub. Obviously, commentary very nearly made a very funny match even funnier. And FPL was perfect. Palace destroying West Ham, a Trent free kick. Yeah, lovely. Lovely, lovely Sunday after a slightly disappointing Saturday afternoon, which I'm afraid we're sadly going to have to go and dive into now and make ourselves sad again.
Yeah, well, I mean, FPL I've kind of forgot existed, so I can't really comment on that side of it. But the marathon I can comment on because it just completely derailed my Sunday. Like, it's really cool watching people do stuff, but what if I've got stuff to do? What if I need to get around? Stop me from doing it. It was a nightmare. One thing I do want to say, because we are going to have to talk about VAR at some point. Coventry, very, very unlucky, very unfortunate. Would have probably been the greatest comeback in FA Cup history, without the shadow of a doubt. And VAR decided to draw over the defender's foot rather than level to make sure that it wasn't offside and there's a Manchester final, which will be... very, very interesting to see what happened. In fact, it's not going to be interesting. We don't know what's going to happen in that final based on what we've seen so far. It is what it is. But we're going to have to talk about the people who beat us to that final and who stopped it from being a Chelsea versus Coventry FA Cup final. It was a tough game, but I tell you what, I walked out of there very proud of Chelsea. Very proud of Chelsea. So, I'm not saying, you know, that people are obviously saying if you let your... People bring up the Jose quote of if you let your standard slip into just a team playing well, then, you know, you're not the same club you were. No, and guess what? We're not the same club we were. And those standards have had to slip because that's just what we're looking at right now. Just expecting players to perform at Lampard and Drogba doesn't work like that. As we saw with Nico Jackson in front of goal. But you know what? To be brutally honest, I went into that game not expecting anything, obviously wanting to win, but not expecting anything. I went in expecting the boys to give a very good performance and a very good account themselves, and I believe they did. Don't know about you, Tom.
Yeah, they played well. As I said in my voice note, I don't know if we can say we were the better team, but we certainly weren't the worst team. And I think that when you can get parity, you can safely come out of a game against the best team in Europe at the moment, you know, a treble winning team who we haven't lost to before. We drew twice in the league and then we shipped one unlucky goal, I think it's fair to say, in the 83rd minute in the FA Cup semi-final. So that's a positive. We're right there in terms of competing with these big teams generally. Obviously, there have been a few exceptions this season where we haven't. But there's one man who everyone was talking about after the game. Well, there are a couple of ones. But in terms of the actual game itself, it was Nico Jackson. I don't understand how he hasn't scored at least one of those chances. The worst one, I think, was the header. But the one going around the defenders, I've seen a replay from a different angle today, and I don't know why he hasn't just shot. At worst, it gets blocked and someone would probably follow it in. But you've got to shoot there. I don't know what he's doing. And then the header, just anywhere but straight at the keeper, and it's a goal. And then I think we probably go on to win it. But hey-ho, can't have it all, or anything this season. But, all in all, like if we can finish the season strong, I was looking at the table earlier. Obviously, West Ham got battered yesterday, as I said earlier. We've now got three games in hand over them, and we're, I think, 3 points behind them. Is that right?
I think it might be less.
I did have the table up, but I've lost it now. Premier League table. Yeah, so
we're,
1 point.
We're a point
so,
behind
so
them.
Yeah, 3 points, three games, sorry, in hand over West Ham. 1 point behind with 18 goal difference on our side. You know, a game in hand over both United and Newcastle with significantly better goal difference than United. Newcastle have much better goal difference than us. But that's, you know, if say we finish seventh, and it's now looking like that will be Conference League because all the English teams managed to lose in Europe. So coefficient-wise, we're not going to get that, don't think. So Conference League, a League Cup final, and an FA Cup semi-final. I think with this squad, the sort of the youthfulness of this squad, the fact it's the first season for a lot of these players, obviously first season for Poch, it's still a very, you know, the board themselves don't really know what they're doing. I don't think that's a bad season. That we can clearly see in the way we're playing at the moment. We've got seven more games left because we don't have a final anymore. We have seven more games left for the rest of the season. And if we can just keep playing the way we've been playing recently, scoring goals, you know, he's put six past Everton. You can see it starting to click a bit. Obviously, the problem now is that every week we have different players on the pitch because they all get injured, which we'll talk about later again more. But I'm feeling positive despite the loss. I don't know about you. I think proud you said yes, but I think also it wasn't a humiliating defeat. I think losing to Man City in that manner, even though Man United won, was significantly less embarrassing than them going three up against Coventry, getting pulled back, just about hanging on by a VAR dodgy call, winning on penalties, and then some of them having the audacity, Anthony, to put your hand to your ear at the Coventry players. You know,
he's just a joke, mate. I think Marcus Alonso is a good example of a cult figure who maybe wasn't the best, but delivered moments and, you know, could back up that nonsense, right? He's done nothing. Cost no. £90 million is, yeah. I think people talk about Lukaku being the biggest Premier League flop. He is the biggest Premier League flop in history. I don't care what anybody says. He's not good enough to play for Nottingham Forest, let alone Manchester United.
He's not good enough to play for Coventry. I'm not even joking. There are a lot of Championship teams he would not get into their starting 11. He's rubbish. He's got two goals and an assist this season. Both those goals came in the FA Cup. Not scored a single Premier League goal. He's £85 million fidget spinner. He comes on, you know, they've got Garnacho who's overtaken him. Obviously Rashford. He's useless. And if Ten Hag does go and they get a new manager in, then he's not going to get in the team, though. The manager will want him out straight away and he'll be loaned out and just rot away somewhere, probably in Turkey. Yeah, rubbish. Anyway, we're not here to talk about them as that angered both of us.
Hit Anthony and everyone just goes, you're right. And I think I want to touch on Nico Jackson stuff you talked about, by the way, because obviously Chelsea came out in their pretty much press conference and they did say that there will be pressing charges or look into legal action against anybody who racially abused Nico Jackson, which kudos to Chelsea Football Club, well done, because some of the abuse I saw of Nicholas Jackson for missing three chances was incomprehensible. I don't understand it. I saw somebody talking about, I saw a tweet and I quote directly, I've got it in front of me, right? They went, all the racial abuse that Bukayo Saka is getting should be going towards Nicholas Jackson. When someone says that over a player who, by the way, okay, yeah, you know what? He missed three sitters. Yes, I think we're all fairly frustrated at that, right? But when you think that racial abuse can condone, but when you think you can condone racial abuse for missing three chances in a football game, one, seek help because you clearly need it. Two, get off the internet. And three, stop being such a fucking bellend. I think that's probably the biggest thing I could say there.
I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. There's no excuse for it. Stop it.
It's absolutely.
Twitter's already enough of a cesspit as it is without this kind of stuff coming in. Well, not coming in. It's been there for ages. So if you're listening and you're one of those guys or girls, stop it. And if you did do it and you get caught, then I hope you get punished adequately. But anyway, enough of that. Nico Jackson, by the way, yes, he had a poor game, but we've spoken about him at length. He's only been playing professional football. He's only been playing senior professional football for 2.5 seasons. So, you know, he's 22. Let's cut him some slack. Yes, he missed some chances. Maybe he won't be our starting striker going forward. We probably will invest in that in the summer. But let's be supportive of our players like we used to be.
Yeah, no, exactly. And to be honest, you're absolutely right about Nico Jackson probably maybe not being our starting striker, but I thought he looked better on the left wing, to be honest. Showed a lot of pace, a lot of athleticism. And to be honest, it just highlights what Pochettino has been saying since the summer, that Chelsea need a seasoned centre-forward. And there's one available, £40 million from Brentford, who's an England international. So please, Chelsea, go and get that sorted. And I swear to God, if you're really, really tight and bring back Romelu Lukaku, I'm going to cry. But anyway, we're going to move swiftly on now.
And that is a threat no one wants.
Me crying is just nothing no one wants to see. We're going to move swiftly on now, and it's into the usual excerpt, which is a bit of fun, which will take us about 2 minutes. Tomas, forgotten banger, please.
My forgotten banger this week is similar to last week. Is it forgotten enough? I'll let you decide. It wasn't me, Shaggy.
That's definitely not forgotten.
Fine. It's still going in because it's a tune.
Have you done it yet?
No, of course I haven't. I will actually do it. I keep saying this. I'm, you know what? I'm going to put it in my plans now for the rest of the week.
Chelsea Echo Forgotten Bangers done. Playlist.
Get playlist done. There you go. It's in my diary.
The fact that you've said Shaggy's a forgotten, that is just definitely not the case.
Well, no, yeah. It is a banger, though, so it's halfway.
It is a banger.
There. You can't always be right in this world.
It's right. So I think it's ABC, mate. It's also, it's got to be an absolute banger. It has to be forgotten. That's not a B, but I've forgotten. There was something. There's basically, I'll be honest, we nabbed this idea, or I nabbed it. Some of these guys I saw on TikTok who I think called The Morning Shift, and they do this. It's a guy they call ABC. So C, it has to be credible. B, it has to be a banger. And A is, it has to be something. I'll let you know next week what it was, but it is ABC. But that is a B, and that is a C, definitely.
I'll take it. I'll take a 67%.
Yeah, but we're on a bit of a theme here today, Tom, because I'm actually in a similar vein to you. I've also gone down the reggae track, and I heard it, right? It was a remix. I was in the boxing gym today, doing my stuff. It's a Monday. I do it every Monday. I spend my day just absolutely obliterating boxing pads, and having to get new gloves, which is actually on the agenda this week anyway. But I heard a remix, and I thought, oh my God, I've not heard this song for years. I'm going to give you Hold You by Egyptian.
Interesting.
Now that is a banger. That is forgotten, right? Because nobody does Hold You anymore. No one listens to that. And it's credible. So I love that. That's definitely a forgotten banger. But it's a similar vein.
Oh, it's this song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. When you said that, I was like, well, what is he on about? And then, yeah, there you go.
I'm easier, put me arms right around you. Girl, I'm going to give
really
Titus for me in everything of my life. Oh, God. What a banger.
I'm very bad at knowing song names and song artists. I just sort of turn up and, oh, yeah, this one. Yeah, tune. Yeah. I like that.
I also butchered the words to that. Thing,
no.
You just don't know most of them.
No, come on, mate. Confidence. It was amazing. Better than the original.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. But anyway, we'll move swiftly on. Next one. It is Tomas's big question of the week. Tom, what you got for me?
It's probably the most boring one I've done so far, but it's happening. I'm trying to alternate it between randomness and then actually football related. Last week's was football related. The week before, we had the Werther's Original, which I think is maybe the most random thing we've had on this podcast. Definitely not, but it's up there. This week, I've gone down sponsorship routes. Emirates, obviously, Arsenal's sponsor. This is 2006, and with a deal up until 2028, they will be the longest-running shirt sponsor in Premier League history.
2028?
Yes.
They signed a deal in 2006 and let it run for 24 years.
I think they've redone deals, but it will be... I think they've redone it. I don't think it's been one 22-year deal.
I was about to say, I think that'd be probably one of the worst business decisions I've ever heard in my life.
I think they've redone... They must have done renegotiations along the way. Anyway, my question is... how much is their most expensive flight, and what is the route?
I'm going to guess it's to Australia, because I know Emirates flies to Australia in terms of distance. And When we're saying expensive, what are we doing economy here? We're doing standard class?
This is according to Alpenair, which I think is a Dutch flight magazine.
What the fuck have you been Googling?
Oh, no, I just typed in most expensive Emirates flight, and this is what we got. Anyway, yeah, it's according to them, it's a first-class flight. So
okay, first class. I don't have a clue, mate. I'm a man of the people. I wouldn't know how much first class.
Well, neither. But that's why I was like, wow, that's a lot of money. For reference, it is second on this list as the second most expensive flight in the world, behind Etihad Airways' flight from New York to Abu Dhabi, which cost $66,000.
Okay, yeah, it's not. So I'm guessing it's the same route, New York to Abu Dhabi.
Similar.
New York to UAE. Dubai? I don't know.
Dubai is the destination. Dubai is the destination.
Okay, Dubai is the destination, and it's flights from X to Dubai. Is it States or is it UK?
States. Yeah.
It's States. Is it LA to Dubai?
Exactly that.
Oh, mate! You can tell I got my highest grade at GCSE was geography. Come on, have some of that.
Man of the people himself nails the flight. Now, if he gets the number, you know what he's been looking up.
$66,000 for New York to Abu Dhabi.
It's somewhere below that, but it's still a lot.
Okay, I thought it was going to be a similar ballpark. I can't. I'm trying to guess first class flight, so I haven't got a Scooby. Is it like $42,000 or something random like that?
Close enough. $31,000, apparently, according to this website.
$31,000. Who's get right? I'm sorry. £31,000 to spend, are you going to spend it on a plane ticket? Mate, fly economy, get there, do your stuff, come home. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but I mean, this is for the ultra rich, where $31,000 is like us spending, I don't know, $500 on that same flight on economy. So,
I don't care, mate. How the other half just live? Think about it. Yeah, it'd be nice to be able to spend that amount of money. Mm. Maybe we can get that in the budget. Just get a spare $31,000, please. Just to try it. You know, we can say we're not men of the people for once, and then you know we'll just fly first class, shake hands. Yeah. With, like, I don't know.
I imagine if you ever flew first class, like say you got it as a prize or something, or you got a random upgrade, and then you suddenly had to fly back economy, that would be a really depressing sort of downfall. Because I generally don't mind flying economy. I think it's all right. Even short haul's fine. But imagine going up to the new level and getting like the bed and all that. Mm. Or even business and then having to go back in amongst
I've flown business class once in my life. I think it was 8. And my dad was working in New York and managed to snag us an upgrade through the business. I was like, brilliant. Yes. Sort us out. But then I wasn't able to appreciate it because I fit into any seat anyway.
Yeah.
At then. And now, not so much now, but you know, it is what it is.
I think it would have to be that's probably the minimum distance. I think it would be worth it. 7 hours to New York. I think anything less than, well, I suppose 6-5 would be worth it. But like, I don't really see the point in doing it for a short haul flight. What's the point? But if you're going all the way to Oz or something, get in there if you can. But anyway, that's that. That's the big question of the week. The next one will be football related, I promise.
No, I like the randomness. Stick with the randomness.
All right, it will be random. I don't know who it even is. Who is our next? Is it Spurs?
Villa.
Villa. Ooh. Some random facts about Villa.
Random facts about Villa. All right. Oh, yeah, but you're not allowed to get anything Peaky Blinders related because that's a cop out.
See, I wasn't going down that route initially. I don't know what I was thinking, but no, fine. I won't go Peaky.
Yeah, no. You're not allowed. That's a cop out. It's all Birmingham. All Peaky Blinders. Yeah, no. We think outside the box here at the Chelsea Echo. That's what we do. That's our thing. Anyway, we'll move swiftly on. And obviously, we've done the big question. We've done the forgotten banger. It's now time for the only part of the show which has a theme song. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Stat Shaggers.
The Chelsea Echo presents Stat Shaggers.
Yes, that is right. Stat Shaggers. The real reason you're here, and again, have to apologise that you've had to wait 20 minutes, go through some bangers, maybe forgotten, maybe not, hear about Emirates, and then hear about flights and all the other stuff we've spoken about there. But we're on to the Shaggers now, the stats, the bit you're here for, and I'm going to take you through the history of this fixture between Chelsea and Arsenal, and what our chances are now. So, all in all, since 1907, there have been 208 matches between these two sides, which I think might be the most that I've come across I can't say for sure, but it seems like a lot. I don't think any of them have been above 200. Anyway, Arsenal back then were called Woolwich Arsenal.
Still are.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Chelsea have won 66 of those matches, lost 83, and drawn 59. So obviously Arsenal, they're having a pretty good edge on Chelsea, sadly. And recently that has, again, sadly, been the case. Since winning the Europa League against Arsenal in Baku in May of 2019, good times. Had to
in where?
It. Baku. Baku, Baku.
Baku? In Baku, okay, right.
Sorry,
yes, Baku.
In Azerbaijan, the capital of Azerbaijan, however you want
did
to call it.
Did you know I was there for that?
I did know you were there for that. That was actually the 11th most recent game between these two sides, but I had to include it, so I did. Since then, Chelsea have only won twice, both of which have been at the Emirates, and both of which have been in the Premier League, which has been 10 games since that one. That includes the first game after that triumph in Baku, Baku, however you say it. It's definitely Baku. Not Baku, I'll tell you that for free.
Baku.
As Chelsea won 2-1 at the Emirates, courtesy, obviously, Jorginho and Tammy Abraham's famous late goals. And then again, 2-0 in August of 2021, when Reece James and Romelu Lukaku bullied Pablo Mari into early retirement and gave us all false hopes of a title charge. Other than those two triumphs, unfortunately, it's been all Arsenal. Well, there have been two draws as well, but Arsenal have won 6 of the last 10 between these two teams. The two draws, one of them, of course, was early on in the season, the 2-2 at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea were 2-0 up, Cole Palmer and Mykhailo Mudryk scoring, before Declan Rice and Leandro Trossard scored two quite frustrating goals from a Chelsea standpoint to fight back and win a point for the Gunners. In this fixture last year, Chelsea were just awful, to be honest. They trailed 3-0 at the break with some very, very interesting defending. Martin Odegaard's brace and Gabriel Jesus' goal put them 3 up before Noni Madueke's consolation goal made it a slightly more respectable 3-1 loss. Overall, though, as I've said, in the last 10 games, it's been mainly Arsenal, and they do lead 19-11 on aggregate. So certainly, historically and recently, they have the edge. On to the manager, Maurizio Pochettino. Obviously, has a bit of a rivalry with Arsenal, having managed both Tottenham and Chelsea now. So his record, I think, when you think about that, is far from outstanding. But I think you can say it's respectable, given that he has managed 16 games against Arsenal. He's won 4, he's lost 4, and he's drawn 8. So, as I say, by no means outstanding. But with the teams he's had and the teams he's been playing against, not horrendous either. All of those wins came at Spurs. 3 of them in the Premier League. But only a 2-0 away win in the League Cup quarterfinals of 2019. That was his only away win at the Emirates so far. So, not a massively good omen there. His last 3 matches against Arsenal, they've all been draws. 1-1, 2-2, and of course the 2-2 earlier on with Chelsea as well. And his overall goal difference against Arsenal reads 22-4, 23 away, so trailing by the one goal. On to Arsenal themselves. Well, I mean, they're pretty good, but are they really good? They are now back to the top of the Premier League, and 1 point ahead of Manchester City, who do have a game in hand still. But last week, their season took a dramatic turn, which we all enjoyed, or I certainly did anyway, losing 2-0 to Aston Villa and 1-0 to Bayern Munich, which took the title race out of their hands and, of course, knocked them out of the Champions League once again against Bayern Munich. Imagine waiting all that time, a whole decade, to get back in the Champions League, or however long it was, only to lose to the same opponent as you lost to before. Lol. Before and after that, though, they have been outstanding. I have to say that. They've not conceded in their 4 other most recent Premier League games against Manchester City, Luton, Brighton and Wolves. They drew 0-0 against City in a real snorefest and beat Luton 2-0, 3-0 away at Brighton, and then beat Wolves 2-0 on Saturday evening. Arsenal clearly a very strong side, but by no means unbeatable, as shown by Aston Villa and Bayern Munich last week. And that is a hope Chelsea will have to take. Can they play them on the counter? Well, that's what we're about to talk about. It's back to you in the studio.
Thank you very much, Tomas. We're back in the studio, which just also happens to be my kitchen. And Tom's on Google Meets because we've upgraded from Zoom. So we don't have to continuously stop after half an hour. That's right. Small steps in the right direction, like we're hoping Chelsea can make this Tuesday against Arsenal. But having said that, we've got to get into the Yakai 11, which today took quite a violent turn with Mauricio Pochettino's press conference. And everybody is now dead, it seems to be the case. Tom, this is going to be a very interesting 11, isn't it?
Yes. I don't know where we go with certainly two of the positions. Well, one of the positions, maybe two. It's just who the... Oh, it's just so painful. It's not even like a thing I'm like passionate about anymore, talking about the injuries. I'm just bored of it. I'm bored of every week there being, oh, you know, Ben Chilwell's come back from injuries, played like, I don't know, 20 minutes or something, didn't play a very easy pass across the box to Sterling, and then he's got injured doing, well, who knows what. I don't know what he does outside of training. Is he a boxer? Does he like run into trees or something? Like, what does he do?
I haven't seen him, so I know he's definitely not a boxer, but... I mean, I do think that he does, you know, run his trees. That's probably something which
maybe he's
I'd
tree
consider.
Hugger, and he keeps getting splinters, and then they get infected. You know when Marco Asensio did that? He got a pimple.
What?
He got I think because he shaved his legs, he got like an ingrown hair or something on his legs, and he got infected, and he had to miss a game. I remember that, and that's one of the most ridiculous reasons I've ever seen for missing a game. That was when he was at Madrid, I think. Funny. Anyway,
Andrea Pirlo had to miss a game at I think it was AC Milan because he sprained his thumb playing Pez. And there was another player who he was playing Pez at home and he put his foot through a table. That's a whole thing. That's a rabbit hole I want to go down.
For a sprained thumb.
It was something like that, yeah.
I'm not disputing your fact. I'm just saying surely that's... If a player came in and said, oh, my thumb hurts, I go, all right, you're playing with your feet, mate.
There was one... Oh, I can't remember what it was. I'll have to double check. It was a really, really, really weird one. I'll let you know. Once I find it, I'll let you know. But yeah, it was a really, really weird one where he got injured and it was just incredibly weird. But yeah, there's been a few. I still remember when Andy Murray got ruled out injured of Wimbledon, I think it was, because he pulled his calf in his sleep. I feel his pain. I did that about 3 weeks ago. I don't know how I did it. I pulled my calf in my sleep.
One of my mate's dads, who went to the game at Wembley on Saturday, pulled his calf running for a train. I don't know whether it was before or after the game, but he was incredibly angry afterwards, as my mate informed me, as you can imagine. Chelsea lost. His calf was pulled. He fell out with all his mates because they were taking the piss out of him about his calf, and he was in agony. And then he got home and his son probably abused him as well. So, yeah, all in all, not a great day for him, but he'll be fine.
No, it's fine. It happens to the best of us.
Exactly.
Have a nice ice bath. You'll be okay. Get a little bit of Voltarol, rub it in, sorted. Yeah. But, yeah, okay, speaking of Voltarol and everything we could possibly use, let's get some eucalyptus on Kyle Palmer's chest because he's been ruled out with illness.
Has he been ruled out, officially ruled out, or just a high doubt?
Ruled out. Well, it was
today.
Assessment tomorrow, but currently ruled out with illness. So we're going to do our 11 with no Cole
Assuming
Palmer.
He's not there, and no Gusto, yeah. No Chilwell.
No Gusto, no Chilwell. Les Lukaku's back in training. Big Les.
Can he play left back?
I don't know. It's times like this where you think loaning out Ian Matson was a terrible idea.
Yeah. And then I watch him play for Dortmund and I'm like, oh yeah, he's quite good. And then, you know, the pass Chilwell didn't play. And then I see Matson making an effortless 60-yard pass. Anyway.
It's one of those days, unfortunately. But I do want to say, we'll stop straight in, right? Jordi Petrovic and goal, guaranteed. Left-back slot. And my man of the match on Saturday, actually, Mark Cucurella, who was absolutely unbelievable on that left-hand side against City. So he'll go straight into that side. Right back's probably going to be what? De Zassi.
Yeah.
The look on your face is it all.
I mean, I've made my opinions about De Zassi fairly clear. I don't know about him. I think he's okay, but he just makes a lot of mistakes. And him playing against right back, well, I was talking to an Arsenal mate yesterday about he reckons it would be Trossard on the left. Maybe Jesus. Either way. They're not the quickest player, but they're handy, and they'll give him some problems, I think, but we don't have a choice.
Which is exactly what he had with Jack Grealish against Gusto.
Yeah.
Jack Grealish isn't the quickest, but he's technically gifted, so we'll have to see. Gusto was okay. He got past the most, didn't he? That was a bit of a worrying statistic post-game. But then also it makes sense considering he had one leg by the looks of things. So he's probably going to be ruled out. So looking at a back line of De Zassi and Cucurella fullbacks and Trev and Thiago Silva as two centre halves. Thiago Silva, by the way, just for the pod recording, is off. He's gone. He's heading to Fluminense.
Obviously sad, but not at all unexpected and probably the right thing. Go while you're still playing at a high level rather than stick around and into your 40s when you become like a, not a laughing stock, but you're a bit like a, yeah.
I mean, I'd have, apparently he turned down contract offers from Chelsea in January.
Absolutely, I heard that, yeah.
But I would, if I was Chelsea, I'd have gone in with a player coach role offer, potentially. I'd love to have seen him on the coaching staff with these guys. And, you know, like I've said in previous recordings and previous things, I know someone who looks after Bell and, you know, the, what she tells me about how they've embedded themselves into London life and thrown themselves as Chelsea. It's absolutely amazing. And I dropped her a text, not Belle, unfortunately, but Belle did see the text and sort of said how much we appreciate them. And they said, thank you very much, which is the least we can ask for. But, you know, good luck to Thiago wherever he goes. What a guy and someone I always want to see play for Chelsea and got to see him do. But yeah, that's our defence sorted for Chelsea against Arsenal. Midfield.
This is now, where it gets interesting.
I think it was a pretty good midfield against Man City. I'd keep the same midfield. I don't know why everybody was gunning for Enzo. Can you enlighten me?
It's the new popular thing to do, apparently, just shit on Enzo, even though I thought, again, he played pretty well. There's a clip going around of Enzo looking a bit leggy. I'm like, it doesn't look that leggy. He's not a quick player. He's not like, you know, he's not running. He's not bloody Adam Atrol.
He's also got a hernia as well.
So the fact that he's even playing, like, he could easily have just gone, right, I'll just take my operation and miss the next 3 weeks. When actually what will happen is he'll get to the end of the season and then do that. And then hopefully next year he'll be right as rain. I don't even think he's playing that bad. He's not playing that well, I'll admit that, but he's not playing badly. He's not, you know, people are shitting on him for the sake of it. Yeah, he obviously plays. One name I do wonder if we might want, I don't know, maybe not to start, but the only man I think who can kind of do what Cole Palmer can do to a lesser level, obviously, is Kani Chukwuemeka in terms of creating him in the middle. And I wonder if I'd want to see him start, but that means obviously one of the others missing out, which I don't think is the right thing to do in this game. So he might, maybe a cameo off the bench for him. Obviously Arsenal, I've spoken about it. I haven't spoken about it. It's coming soon. Their elite defence and the stats that they have there and how good they are defensively. So we might need someone like Kani to come on, try and unlock them if Palmer's out. But I think to start with, I agree with you, we go with the trio that has become what it is. So Gallagher, Enzo and Caicedo. I do think next season I would like to play a 4-2-3-1 and therefore one of them will not be in that team. But that's next season's problem.
Well, yeah, I think look, we said this beginning of the year, I think Conor Gallagher's stepped up to another level this year, which I don't think, if we had a fully fit squad, he would be doing. So, you know, credit to him where it's due. Wasn't the strongest game for him, but it wasn't a terrible game either. It was a good 6-7 out of 10, fine, which is what you want from a player like him. But yeah, I thought Caicedo did okay. Should have been sent off. I think we can say that. But he survived.
I prefer not to speak.
but yes, that's sorted. Yeah, I'd say the front three, this is where it gets quite tough. Because,
well, I mean, Jackson's got to play, hasn't he?
I mean, it's Jackson definitely.
And then you basically
who you
got,
play with him, I don't know.
We've got three options, really, haven't you? It's got to be two of Sterling, Mudryk, Madueke. Unless you played Carney on the right, which he won't do. So, I don't know. I think you want to target their left back. That's the one. That's the real weakness in their defence. Because Ben White is annoyingly good, and the two centre-backs are outstanding. So the left-back, whether it be Zinchenko or Kivior, that is the one area that you could potentially try and target. Is that Madueke, who, you know, that whole clip of him laughing behind Thiago Silva has riled up Chelsea fans?
How do you feel about that?
I don't feel as strongly as most people about the laughing with Jack Grealish. He's obviously a guy who, you know, he knows a bit from England training or whatever. They're having a joke after a game. I'm not as bothered about that. The reason I am a little bit annoyed about it is because of obviously what happened on Monday and how it basically appears he was more annoyed at not getting a penalty and a chance to score than losing in an FA Cup semi-final. But the juxtaposition of obviously Thiago Silva gutted, as it turns out, that was his last shot at a trophy in England. Obviously, he's had a few shots at the FA Cup, and that's a trophy everyone wants to win, and he now won't get that chance. And Madueke kind of laughing around behind him. It's not a great image, but I wasn't quite as angry as many others. I don't know what you think about it.
I mean, I was the same. I was a bit like, well, you know, it is what it is. I think he was having a joke with his teammate, but then I saw you and Cam both talk about that Everton stuff, and I was like, do you know what? No, that actually has rattled me a little bit, because I think that the way that he, I agree, you know, he was moaning about not winning a penalty when Chelsea were 5-0 up or 4-0 up, whatever the point was at that point, and then losing an FA Cup semi-final, and he's having a muck about. I was like, mate, come on, like, time and a place.
Yeah, exactly. If he wants to do and have that muck around behind closed doors, no problem with it. But I think I don't think he really cares about his image and his PR, which is fair enough. I kind of admire that in a way. But I think, you know, have a little bit of awareness of the situation, and also for Thiago himself, because, you know, he doesn't want to be, you know, he's already upset. And then there are also people going, oh, no one went up to him. When there's obviously the clear clip of Conor Gallagher going up to him and picking him up. So, you know, people...
I do think, though, even though Gallagher did pick him up, even if you look at Coventry the next day, so their captain misses a penalty and there's two players right around him, arms around the shoulders straight away. And no one did that. You know, Conor Gallagher picks him up and then, cool, done. We're going to wander off now. I'm like... That's where, if it was me, I'd be there, arm right round the shoulder, like, look, like, I can hardly talk about what you're experiencing, but I can be there for you, you know. And it's something where you could see the clear age of this team in that situation.
Well, I think that's
tough.
I think that's obviously the whole Nonny thing, you know. I think it's different. He's young. I think he's 21 or 22. He's very young. He's got his whole career ahead of him. He's clearly talented. Whether he stays at Chelsea for a long time, who knows? But he'll have a shot at this again, probably. And I think that's probably what it's all part of. And to be fair, he's probably just enjoying the experience of being in an FA Cup semi-final, which I get. But I think time and a place, you need to show a bit of respect to the club, to Thiago Silva, to the competition, to the fans. You know, we don't want to see players laughing. We're all pretty annoyed or gutted. You know, I wasn't sitting there laughing after the game. Obviously, I wasn't crying either. And I got a hug from a lady in the pub, which was nice. but yeah, maybe that's what Nonny needed. He needed to come and give me a hug, and then I would have forgiven him. Like that lovely lady in the pub. She's quite yeah. Louis's gone, so I can just say what I want now.
Because this is audio only, you can't see Tom's face. It was like he was having a flashback.
It was a bit like flashback.
To be held now.
Well, yeah. Well, there is that, you know. But there's also the whole randomness of the situation. I was just standing there minding my own business, and suddenly this lady comes up to me and goes, "Ah, sorry about the result." Hugs me and then leaves immediately. I was like, "Okay."
You're not gonna. She thinks she's not called. She didn't text. Like nothing.
No.
I'm sorry,
she didn't,
man.
Leave her number. Yeah, well, I think she was with her husband, which was what made the situation slightly more bizarre. And I am no...
We established you're a swinger. We said this last week. We figured this out.
I've not helped myself there with that story. Oh, well, it's been said. What do you want? What do we do? It's
Tom Masters of the Chelsea Echo is a swinger. For anyone listening in the car with their children... Kids, don't ask your mum and dad what a swinger is. Okay, that's all we're going to say.
Like swings. They're my favourite thing in a playground.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's just someone who loves swings and loves playing on swings with other people. But we will move swiftly on. So we've got our Nonny Madueke at right wing, Nico Jackson, because it sounds like we're saying we're playing Nonny. And then I guess that leaves Mudryk on the left wing.
Yeah, they're a prolific trio.
extremely prolific. I can't wait to not score a goal. Well, that's your Chelsea Echo 11. So let us know your thoughts on that. And don't make us cry, please. Please don't make us cry.
Or do.
More importantly, though, as we've stated, right, how do we beat these guys with that team? And how do we win without Cole Palmer? Because I don't know how.
Yeah, well, we've become very, very reliant on Cole Palmer. Obviously, got over 50% of our... He's been involved in over 50% of our goals, which is... Well, it's both a testament to Palmer and his ability and how well he's playing, and also a bit of a sad indictment of how this Chelsea side is just still lacking that cutting edge. And so this is going to be a real test. And that's kind of why I like Carney, because I actually think Carney is fairly good at creating things, and he scored a couple of goals as well, given how little he's played. He's got a few goals in him. So how do we win? We're going to have to play very well. Arsenal have the best defence in the league. They've conceded the fewest goals, which is 26. The next best is obviously the next two, City and Liverpool. They've conceded 32, but they've also scored the most goals, 77, one more than City at the moment. So they're obviously very good at both ends. They've got a strong midfield. They don't have any injuries at the moment, I don't think, which is, you know, obviously a complete role reversal to about 5 years ago when they had injuries constantly and we didn't. And they're gunning for the title. That is one thing I'll say. The pressure's all on them. They're going for the title. They played a game on Saturday evening, so they've got another game on Tuesday. We are playing for, well, Europa League, but we've got a lot of games in hand. So if we did lose this game, it's not really the end of the world. Hopefully the players want to win the game because it's Arsenal and it'd be funny to beat them and, you know, get the points as well. But how do we win? Play our game. We're capable of it. We played quite well against City. Palmer's not there. Fine. It's a good opportunity to prove these players that they're good enough and it's not just Cole Palmer FC.
That's what we can ask for. So we can ask for, you mentioned obviously injuries and Arsenal obviously having a good defence earlier. So we'll have to see. I mean, I'd say this is the start of a very, very tough run of games.
Yes, it is.
You know, we've got this game, then we've got Villa, then we've got Spurs.
Yeah.
And then, you never know, West Ham might have picked up. So, you know, they're all very important games.
You're going to be fighting Brighton away. Bournemouth, who that's probably the easiest game because they're done, they're not fighting for anything, but that's our last game of the season. So yeah, every game does matter, but I'd say this is probably the least winnable of those games, so maybe weirdly the best game for Palmer to be out for in a weird way, if that makes
sense.
It's
kind of at ease at the fact that you think we're probably going to lose.
Well,
what
I don't want to just admit, and that's kind of again a bit of a sad indictment of where this team is and where my feelings towards Chelsea are, but the way Arsenal are playing, I don't think we're going to cause... I don't know. We are scoring goals at the moment, which is good, but then again, we failed again on Saturday despite all those chances. We'll get chances. It's whether we score them. And Arsenal will give you fewer chances than anyone else, so we'll have even fewer chances. But the way we're playing, you know, the way we managed to cut City open a few times, we'll get a couple of chances. It's just whether we put them away. Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know. That's the beauty of this Chelsea team. I have no idea what's going to happen every week, which is both exciting and frustrating. But who knows? What about you?
I mean, look, it seems to be the tougher games where we put in a good account of ourselves. So I'm hoping that we can pick up where we left off in the previous fixture in a game where we should have picked up all 3 points and hopefully maybe go to the Emirates and get all three. That's how I'm looking at this game. And a nice extra to that would be stopping Arsenal from winning the league and then seeing them win absolutely nothing again, despite the fact that their team's supposed to be the best things in sliced bread now. And Kai Havertz is apparently one of the best midfielders in the league and et cetera, et cetera. I saw someone describe him as an inverted eight earlier.
Tweet, yeah.
What the fuck is an inverted eight?
Oh, I don't know. People just... It's all these tacticos, but they're not even... They're just trying to sound clever when they don't actually know what they're talking about. And it just... Everyone just sighs and rolls their eyes. What are you on about?
Nah, it's ridiculous. It is what it is. But anyway, let's just hope that we can go and get the result. Get that spirit of Frank, Tammy and all of that. That's what I'd quite like. That was a great game. I turned down a ticket for that because I had something going on that day. And that's something I will always regret.
Tarrant Lamptey was there. I remember his face and going, "Ooh."
Let's go get the job done. Chelsea Football Club could potentially go into the European places with a win here. So that's all I'm asking for. Let's make sure we can go and get the job done. If you have enjoyed this, obviously, please do make sure you give us a 5-star review. Check out everything else on the Chelsea sideline as well. Obviously, as you'll have listened to this, on Wednesday, we are releasing our Behind the Paywall pod, which is a fantastic episode of us talking about late bloomers. So it's a nice bit of evergreen content where you can hear us talk about Chelsea players, one current and the rest old, and what they brought to the team. So make sure you head across to the Chelsea sideline club to check that out. It's only a fiver. You know, it's less than a pint in central London. What is there to lose? And you get loads of great content with it. Think about it that way. But with that being said, make sure you give this Chelsea Echo podcast a 5-star review. Make sure you follow myself and Tom on Twitter. Tom, what is your Twitter handle so everyone can find you? Because there is at least one person listening to this podcast.
Which is you. At Tom Masters 11 is my handle. Capital T, capital M. Numbers 11, obviously. That'd be weird if I wrote it in letters. Maybe I'll do that. Stand out from the crowd. But yeah, that's me.
Tom Masters XI. What a guy. It rhymed as well. That's so good. That's exactly why it's got to be changed now. Anyway, that is it. I'm Louis_Beneventi on Twitter. Ben as in Bill and Ben. Eve as in Adam and Eve. November Tango Indigo, which is exactly how I describe it when I'm ever on the phone. I have to do it. It's like I started panicking. I used to start panicking. It'd be like the it's thinking something that starts with N, like, I don't know, nigiri, tango, drink, ice. That's exactly why I do November Tango Indigo. Because I'd start panicking.
I mean, that's acceptable over the phone.
It's exactly why I do it over the phone. I don't just look at someone in the eye and go, yeah, November Tango Indigo. That'd be weird.
You definitely do. You definitely have done that at least once before in your life.
No, I haven't. I just yell it even louder. N! N for Nigel! But yeah, that's exactly what I do. But anyway, that's my Twitter. That's Tom's Twitter. Follow the Chelsea Echo Twitter account as well. Make sure you tune into Final Score with The Score as well. Another good show this week after the Man City semi-final. Some great callers. Make sure you guys come and get involved in that, because myself and Tom will be doing that as well. And we will see you for the next one. Ta-da.
Hasta luego.